everyone. Welcome to Get Grounded with Lisa, where for the next half hour, we will get grounded mind, body, and soul. Happy Sunday. I hope everybody had a wonderful weekend and warm wishes for the week ahead. Tonight, we are going to talk about something a little fun and quite interesting, which is a topic that I'm very seasoned with and absolutely love to talk about, astrology. Now, astrology is basically the study of patterns and relationships. It's the planets in motion at all times, as above, so below, as they say. Long before recorded history, it has been referred to as the mother of all sciences. But basically, it really is so much more than science. It's the realm of metaphysics. It's the study of that which is beyond the physical. And when used properly, it is an incredible tool of self-discovery, no matter how far you decide to take it. Today, a little later on in this half hour, I have a special guest with me, and we're going to do something a little fun, so stay tuned. We're actually going to give him a little live reading on the air. He does not know what I'm going to say to him. It's based off his birth chart, his exact time of birth. His name is Bruce. Hi, Bruce.
Hi, how are you doing, Lisa?
We're going to talk to Bruce in just a little bit, okay? So basically, we're going to focus on the birth chart of a person as opposed to astrology of the universe here. So the birth chart of a person is what I like to call the blueprint of their soul. It's the roadmap of who we are. It's what makes us unique, different. We're all very different. We've all come here to do different things. We have different strengths and challenges. But there's also a lot of free will with that. And so astrology is really just the tool to help us to understand ourselves and make better decisions. And then we can see why we react certain ways to certain situations, why they seem to keep repeating themselves. There's a lot of patterns. It's really, really cool. So why would one person get a birth chart done? I would imagine, hopefully, what I just explained would help you realize that it's a really great tool, but it's also necessary that you do know yourself, that you know your potential and your limitations, because by constantly working on your personal evolution, you're helping not only yourself, but the others around you to understand you better. Because if you understand yourself, well, then obviously others can understand you, and you're contributing to the evolution of all life, basically. So back when I was learning astrology at first, one of the men that was my mentor at the time had told me, always master your own chart first. Don't look at other people's. Learn your chart backwards and forwards. And only then can you truly help others. And I really stuck to that. And up until about 4 or 5 years ago, that was all that I did was I would study my chart. I would study every aspect of who I was and why I reacted certain ways to certain people and experiences. And really, really cool and interesting. And most of it, I would say about 92%, I would say, including the negative or challenging aspects, I should say, I truly do relate to. And the ones that I don't necessarily like, I've been working really hard to redirect those patterns to make better decisions for myself. And it's really helped tremendously. I always say it's like an astrology session is really like a psychology session because it's helping you to kind of hone in on those things about yourself that you know on a level, but you don't truly understand. So it kind of gives you a different understanding and perspective. So in a person's birth chart, there's 10 planets and 12 houses, okay? So you've got the sun, the moon, the rising sign, Venus, Mars, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, Jupiter, and Saturn. I'm not going to go into all of those today because it's way too many. But what I'm going to do is focus on what we call the big three in astrology. And to go back to the whole premise of my show, those big three are really the mind, body, and soul of who a person is, okay? So when you talk about the sun in a person's birth chart, you're looking at it's their body, their ego, their essence, their sense of self. It's your vitality and the basic traits that you embody in this lifetime, okay? So for example, the sun is where when you're born. So for my birthday is May 9th, so I'm a sun in Taurus, okay? Now, having the sun in Taurus does not make every Taurus the same person because that sun will fall in a different house for each person. So there's 12 houses, remember that. So for example, you know, my sun falls in the 12th house in Taurus and I have Bruce's chart in front of me. His sun falls in the 12th house, in the house of Taurus, but in the 10th house of Taurus. So he's a very different type of Taurus than I am, and we'll explain that later. So then you've got the moon in astrology, which is what I refer to and astrologers refer to as the soul of a person. The moon is truly your psyche, it's your heart, your deepest needs, your instincts, and what you need to feel fulfilled and how you truly respond and react to the emotional stimuli around you and to other people. So I'm going to use myself as an example here because we're going to go on to Bruce's chart later. But for me, I'm a sun in Taurus. I'm a moon in Pisces. That makes me extremely... Pisces is in the element of water. That's your moon. That's your emotion. So I'm a very sensitive person. That's moon in Pisces. This is how I got so into astrology, because I always would read about Taurus, and a lot of it would really resonate with me, but a lot of it did not. And then when I started to go into the moon and the ascendant and all of that, it made a lot more sense. And for anyone that's listening that is more curious to learn more about this, a really good place to start is there is a book by Linda Goodman, and it's called Sun Signs. And it's basically all about what I'm explaining and how it's just not the sun that makes up a person, okay? So just remember, it's Sun Signs, Linda Goodman. Okay, back to the big three. So after we've got the sun and the moon, we've got the ascendant, which is also in astrology interchangeably called the rising sign, and that is the mind of a person. This is the sign that was rising over the eastern horizon at the time of your birth, and it changes degrees every couple of minutes. So essentially, two twins could be born 3.5 minutes apart, let's just say, and one of them could be a Taurus with a Gemini rising, and then the other one could be a Taurus with a Cancer rising, which would make them two entirely different people. Because the ascendant, the rising sign, is like your, what we call, the mask of who you are. It doesn't mean you're not who you appear to be. It's just, that's what people see when they first meet you. That's the first impression that they get about you. And it's also said in astrology that up until about the age of 30, you are technically more of your ascendant, or at least you appear that way. And then by the time you hit about 30, 35, you tend to drop that a little bit because you become more comfortable with who you are and more mature. So then you kind of flip over to your true self, your ego, which is your sun. Hope that this is making sense. So those are the big three. So that's typically what, when you're sitting with a person or talking to a person, you know, for example, I'm going to just tell you real quick how I met Bruce on Sunday night, just this past Sunday at Emma's Ale House in White Plains. I was there eating dinner with family, and we started to talk to our waitress. And I was mentioning all of this, and I said, actually, I just popped into my head, I'm going to talk about astrology on Sunday. And I would like to have you, why don't you come on? We'll just do a real cold reading. You give me your birth information in advance. I'll look at everything, and we'll do it on the air. And she didn't really want to do it. She wasn't into it. She said, no, I'm scared, I don't know. Anyways, thought that was the end of the conversation. Then she brought Bruce over and said, he'll do it. So I said, oh, okay, that'd be cool. And then that's how it is. So basically, I took Bruce's information and I cast his chart. And while we were at Emma's, just from the 10 minutes maybe of conversation, I had in my mind already, by just talking to him, said he's got to be a Leo rising. I actually predicted that, and I am right. He is a Leo rising, which is really funny, but or not, because it's just the way it works. But it's funny because Bruce and I are both Taurus. You're May 7th, right? Yes,
yeah,
you're May 7th. I have it right in front of me. So Bruce is May 7th. I'm May 9th. He's a Taurus with a Leo ascendant, meaning that something about Bruce, when he is out in the world, it's like, look at me, I'm here. He doesn't necessarily try to do that. He just kind of commands attention, right? Would you agree with
absolutely,
that?
Absolutely, 100%.
You're not really shy,
nope,
basically.
Not at all.
Whereas I'm a Taurus with Gemini rising, and yes, while I'm a communicator, because Geminis like to chat and talk, I'm also very shy and introverted at the same time. I don't necessarily like to be out in the limelight.
And yet you're on the radio.
Exactly. Well, nobody can really see me. So.
And you're doing a great job.
Yeah, thank you. So, you know, it's funny. That is kind of funny. Now, to go further into that, I have what we call in astrology, my sun in Taurus is in the 12th house. The 12th house is the hidden house. Not many people have 12th house planets because they're karmic, is what they say. You've come here from a past life to do certain things, and you have to, when it's 12th house, they're kind of hidden. Right. So, for example, I'm doing radio, right? I'm supposed to be putting myself out there in some capacity. I normally don't do that. I tend to stay behind this smoke screen, which if you think about it, I'm still kind of doing,
and
but
you're still kind of doing.
Right. But I am forcing myself out of my comfort zone, putting myself out there, right? Whereas you, with the sun in the 10th house, the 10th house is career. So this, you're out there with your career, I would imagine.
Right,
you
absolutely.
Are, and I'm sorry, I know you work at Emma's, but that's just something you do for fun because you like to interact.
Right.
What do you do for your full-time job?
I own a vending company, Edible Deliveries. I've been doing it for 12 years.
Cool.
A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. I take a lot of pride in it. Never had a complaint filed against me once, but it's really my passion. But it's lonely. There's a human side. So Emma's fills that human void that
there
I'm missing.
There you go.
And that Leo sun rising.
Yes, exactly. So you're going to get it. That's exactly right, because you've got the Leo rising. You need that interaction. Leo's under the element of fire. So, you know, you need, like, you know, action, stimulation.
Yeah.
You can't be bored, basically.
Can't.
You need people around you. Leos are people. you're a people person, basically.
Yeah, and it's funny that you're on the radio. I do vending. There's no people around. It's a machine. So it's
true.
Funny that what I do is weird, too, because...
Interesting.
I don't fill that void if I don't have Emma's.
Interesting. Well, you know, looking at it's looking at your chart, is your sun is in the 10th house. So when you're, and as a Taurus, you're naturally a grounded person. You're under the element of earth. So you are, you know, you're stable, you're proud, you're strong, you're solid. It's one thing. Taurus are typically very dependable people. Like your friends know they can count on you if they need something. Your family knows if they really need you. You're there.
Right.
That's Taurus. We're like that. That's just who we are. If you say you're going to do something, you do it.
Right.
You are, the challenges of being a Taurus is that you're set in your ways.
Yeah.
You're stubborn.
Yeah.
Your mind will rarely waver once it's on something. Very obstinate. It's not that you don't flip over quickly. It takes a lot of convincing. And you're hot tempered. Do you have a temper, so it's best not to provoke Taurus. It takes a long time to get them to that point, but when we get mad, right, we're like...
We're mad.
But it subsides relatively quickly.
Very
but
forgiving.
Still, there's a rage there that, you know, it's not, I mean, not dangerous, but it's very much, you don't want to see it come out.
20 years ago was worse. I've learned to control it.
but see, that's what happens as you mature. You learn those parts of yourself, and you say, okay, I have to dial this down.
Yeah, I'm like, wait.
Right.
Tone it down.
And Taurus can be workaholics as well.
Yes.
And now you, that's what I want to talk about, with the 10th house sun. 10th house is the career house. So career is very, very prominent for you. You have to have a successful career.
Yes.
Not just your day-to-day life. You have, like, what you're doing as your career has to be extremely, it's very important for you.
Very
you
important.
Have to shine. You want people, this is me, I want you to know
failure
me.
Failure is not an option.
Exactly. Which could bring back the negative to that is the workaholic piece, so you have to watch that, because you can be so focused on that you tend to push everything else to the side, right?
Yeah.
Now, okay, so you, because the sun is your ego, and it's in Taurus in the 10th, you crave attention when it comes to your career. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely. So... you know, oh, and also I want to mention that the 10th house is always about the parent of greater influence. And it's interesting because the sun typically represents your father in astrology, but in the 10th house, it's more your mother.
Wow.
So what it's saying is that your mother was a greater influence to you.
She was.
Okay.
Oh,
really? Okay, cool. So see how that works. Now, normally the sun is your father, but because yours is in the 10th, at that exact time of your birth, your mom is of a greater influence to you.
Yeah, I was a mama's boy my whole life. I would love my mother.
Okay.
With all my heart.
Just to prove how cool this is, I don't know that about Bruce. I'm literally looking at his chart and he's saying to me, you know what, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
And I know the sun is typically the father in astrology, so that's very interesting how this always is.
Yeah, because I Googled myself and it says very limited. I'm like, it's some right, it's some not right.
And you mean you Googled Taurus, you're
saying? I Googled Taurus the day before you came into Emma's.
Oh, that's
and
funny.
I said, man, you know, this doesn't seem right, but it seems kind of right, and I never get it right. And then you came in, like, Bruce, we have this lady at my table. And I was like, let me go.
This weirdo at table number two.
Yeah, I didn't even care about the radio aspect. I was like, this is so great because this is what I want to learn about myself.
See how that works.
So it worked out really
always
great.
When the teacher appears, right?
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, I want to make sure I have enough time to go over the big three here. Sure. So basically, for you, seeking out a career that allows you to manage rather than be managed is very very important for you as well, because you don't want to take orders when you've got the sun in the 10th house. You're like the master.
Right. I'm definitely trying to be the leader.
Okay. Yeah. So, and you have your own business. It's your own business,
right?
My
own business.
Okay.
Yeah, starting
so
from
you're
scratch.
Pretty much guaranteed to have a successful career with sun in the 10th. Just don't be too rigid because you're a Taurus. So you got to kind of bend a little bit in order to, things won't always go exactly how you want them.
And
you
things
have
don't
to
always go as fast as you'd like them to.
Right.
Too.
Right, but you
I've
have to be adaptable.
Right.
All right, so that's your sun in a 10th. So does that make sense for you?
Completely.
Pretty much? Okay, so now let's move on to the moon, because that's your emotion. Now, your moon is in Libra, in the third house, which is interesting. So with a moon in Libra, again, that talks about your mom, because your mom is the moon in astrology. You must have had a very close relationship with your mom.
Very
correct?
Close, yeah.
Or do, I should say, yeah. Sorry. So basically, people born with moons in Libra are born with this need for emotional diplomacy, and very much balance is huge because Libra's the scales. So Libra's all about balance. And when it comes to your emotions, if your emotions are not in balance, you're like, you can't function pretty much.
Wow, yeah.
Is that?
Yeah,
that's
very accurate.
So,
so do I like a pat on the back, kind of, so to speak?
It's not even
hey,
so
Bruce,
much
you're
that.
Doing a good job.
That helps, but it's more like if you're in a room with six people, and four of those people are really angry with you, you can't function because you're like, no, I have to make this right. Like, I have to be fair. This has to be right. I can't walk out of here until this is set.
Even when I get pulled over, like, by a police officer, which isn't often, I do get disheveled. I'm like, what did I do wrong? You know,
right, because fairness and diplomacy, that's huge for you, and especially when it comes to your emotions, because your moon is there. It's very, and Libra is an element in the element of air, so having that in your moon is kind of difficult because the moon is water. It's your emotion, and Libra is an air sign. So it's, again, if a lot of it's mental. So it's like your emotions have to go through a mental sifter before you can truly express them. And they change. As a Libra, they flip-flop. Your emotions change a lot, right?
Yeah. If someone's mad at me that I'm close to, it does affect me tremendously.
Well, and your moon's also in the third house. And the third house is the house of communications. So interestingly enough, there's two different sides to your personality, your emotional personality, which is basically that you're either being intellectual and rational or emotional and unpredictable.
Wow.
And sometimes for you, it's like you can't even kind of hone in and figure out, okay, what's going on? So when you try to convey that to someone else, it comes off like really maybe not the way you want it to.
We call that my dark side.
But does it sound?
Yes.
Okay. So now but here's the thing. On the positive side of that, you are a social butterfly. You do love people. You love to be right around people. I would say on the lower end of that, but basically what you can do to kind of help that is just find balance with your emotion before you express them. So even when they're irrational and erratic and you don't feel like, you know, things are, just try to like, you know, just pull it back, tune in, figure out what it is you're feeling first before you try to go and express that. Because otherwise it may come off wrong.
Yeah, no, it's very wise advice.
And also, I'm just going to talk about the rising sign, the ascendant. So again, the ascendant is the sign that's rising on the eastern side of the horizon at the time of, at the exact moment of your birth, and it shifts every like 2 to 2.5 minutes, so it makes people very different. Yours is in Leo. So there's something about you that's very Leo. You're like, you're out there. You walk into a room, you command attention, you may not even be trying to, it just kind of happens. People tend to, you know, gravitate towards you. You are, as a Leo rising, you've got a very lovable personality. You love to chat. You're very open. You're not really a guarded person. You can be a little impatient with a Leo rising. Like, it's everything's going to be 1, 2, 3 now.
Right.
You want results. You're very... Now, I just want to mention, your sun, moon, your sun's in Taurus, moon's in Libra, and your ascendant is Leo. All three of those signs are about aesthetics, because Libra and Taurus are ruled by Venus. So everything's about what you can see, touch, taste. Like, you're very into aesthetics.
Surroundings?
Yeah, basically. Like, is that true? Would
yes,
you say, like, everything has to look nice and feel right? And
yes.
Just, that's all a part of your personality here. So it's really kind of, if you think about it, it's...
Interesting.
It's so interesting how... And, oh, I want to mention, too, as a Leo rising, you have an inexhaustible amount of energy. So you have to be really careful, because you do tend to have strong... Leo risings have strong physiques. So if you were to catch a cold, for example, you recuperate quickly. But you have to be careful with that because you don't want to abuse it. So, you know, when you are not feeling well, you have to honor it and pull back and say, I need to rest. I can't.
Like if I touch Red Bull, I feel like an alien's popping out of my chest.
You should not drink caffeine. Red Bull. Yeah, it's not bad for you. Yeah. I mean, it is bad for you.
I don't need caffeine or anything like that. You're right. I have a tremendous amount of energy.
Because you have it naturally. Yeah, it won't because it's natural. That's part of who you are. You're going to always have that. Yeah. You're always going to appear a lot younger. I happen to know how old you are because I have your chart in front of me. You appear about 10 to 12 years younger. So, and that's likely your energy. That's what it is.
I still have my hair.
Yeah, well, that helps. But it's also because you're, you know, very, upbeat and you're always moving and you keep yourself going. And that's really cool. Now, since we have like another couple minutes, I'm going to just really briefly, I want to briefly talk about another important part of a birth chart, which is Saturn, the planet Saturn. Saturn is what they call in astrology, Lord Karma. So basically what that means is it's the teacher for us. It's one of our hardest lessons to learn in this lifetime that we came here with. And it's about structure and order. So it's pretty much a place in a person's chart where there's a lot of repetitive patterns that you just can't seem to break sometimes. And with you, your Saturn's in Taurus on the second house cusp. So that is basically saying that's your house of possessions, money, and values. So the way that you make money and the way that you, again, with your career, is where most of your lessons come in life. So you may find that it's hard for you sometimes to pull back and really not be so affected by your money, your possessions, knowing that you don't have to... Having the best of everything is not always the best of everything. Does that make sense?
Yes.
It's almost like just pulling back, slowing down, and realizing you do have enough. The reality is I have enough. I don't have to exhaust myself and just, you know, keep going, keep going, keep going. You definitely, it's like you have enough. You can, what's the word? And you have enough here in this lifetime. You have the structure. You're going to be provided for. You're going to be okay. You are secure financially. With this placement, you don't like to take risks. So,
I don't.
So, Saturn saying, take a risk once in a while. Don't be idiotic about it. You know, don't go blow all your money at the casino, but you can take a risk once in a while. It's not going to break you. That's what you're here to do. You're here to learn. You're here to grow. So by staying in the same spot, you're not necessarily growing.
Like I said, I don't play lottery. I've never played a scratch.
That makes a lot of sense. That's your Saturn.
I see no point in it. I'm like, there's no guarantee with it. There's no whatever. To me, that's a risk. Even though it's a dollar lottery ticket, I won't do it. I have no interest.
Interesting. And see, and because Saturn's like the reality planet, and reality can sometimes be limiting, but at the same time, it provides structure to our lives. So you're obviously a very structured person, I would say, by looking at this chart. I mean, well, and that is a good thing, but and sometimes you can almost maybe be a little too structured, right? Yeah. Sometimes I can be a little too free. So I see, you know, like everybody's got their... Right. There are things here. Yeah. So that's really interesting. So you're basically saying that everything that I've just described is you, pretty much, for the most part.
100%.
Really cool. So, okay, so...
And Google was wrong, by the way.
It just says a Taurus.
Just says that Pisces is my most prominent sign, that we have a lot in common.
You know, it's funny. Yeah. Oh, well, that's something else I will mention real quick is you're talking about having things in common. When you go further with astrology, there's something that's called synastry, which is basically the ingredients of how two people interact. It's like the chemistry, so to speak. You can use that for, you know, I've read for people that have said to me, hey, look at this person's birth chart. I'm going to hire them. Why they had that person's time of birth, I don't know. But they would say, right. You know, look at this. How will I interact with this person? And you can tell, okay, this person's going to be a very good worker, but just know that they're a little erratic. They're a little unstable when it comes to certain things. This might annoy you because they can be messy. And it's pretty much like 97.8% accurate here. Like you're talking, this is who we are.
Right.
We can shift, alter, shape, change things around. But at the core, we are, this is us, you know, and we're all so different. And that's why I find this so cool and fascinating. And I hope that, you know.
Yeah, what I find fascinating is that it teaches you about yourself. That's the best education
you
can
get. Know thyself, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because then you can
master. If you know yourself, you know how you can master yourself and how to interact with other people better. So I think that part is great.
How you can truly like tap in and see things that maybe you didn't see before when you and by the way, there's so many other aspects to a person's chart, like each planet and the angles and the how it's wild. So it's you really got to go in depth, which is why when I do these astrology sessions, they're 75 minutes for the first one and they usually go longer because they are so in depth and so much more to us than meets the eye, basically.
Yeah, wow, that's amazing.
So, Did you have any questions about your chart? Because I can most certainly go in any direction you want here because I have it right in front of me.
What would be my most compatible sign?
Oh, wow. Okay, so interesting.
Based on the moon, the sun, and all my other problems.
So I would say with this, with just intuitively and just looking at your chart, with a sun in Taurus in the 10th and a Leo rising and a moon in Libra, you would need someone who's got a balance of earth and fire, definitely, because you need, but you also need the emotional piece. So I would say you could do okay with a Pisces if they weren't too watery. They'd have to have some earth and perhaps some fire to balance them out. But you could do all right with the Pisces. Gemini would be good for you. You need somebody like high energy, intellectual, someone who could keep you, you know, you need to be able to conversate. You need to be able to have, it has to be much more than just like they're attractive and you can go to dinner with them. Like you have to have like this, beyond that point, you need a lot of...
Yeah, at my age, it definitely has to be more than that.
Well, yeah, but
that's interesting. Wow.
Yeah, so I would say I would definitely steer you away from someone who's too rigid. Like if somebody was very, very earth-based, heavy, heavy earth-based, might be too much for you because you're also earth. You're Taurus, so you've already got that earth energy here. And if you were to go with someone who's very, very earthy, it would be like too much. You'd need someone... You need someone fiery, I would say. Feisty. Like someone with more fire. Yep. So, and there was something else I wanted to mention about your chart that I found interesting. Let me just see if I can remember what that was. Okay, hold on one second. Sorry.
That's okay. Take your time.
Oh, okay. Like I said, that's funny. Your Venus, which Venus is, it rules your sentiments. It's what you value, and it's like the pleasure you take in life and how you love and who you love. And yours is in Aries, which is a fire sign. So I did mention fire, so that's very accurate. You need someone fiery, like that has that pioneer spirit that can match the Leo. We are, oh my goodness, we are totally out of time. But if anybody is interested in having their chart done, you could go to my website, www.lisasalvatore.com, and you can put in the code WVOX for 10% off an astrology chart reading.
Do it, people,
and
do
thank
it.
You, Bruce, for being here. And I'll talk to you all next month. Have a great night.
Bye-bye.